All right, today's presenters, Karen Stanley and Blanche Ishida. Blanche Ishida currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for the majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the ZOS Western MQ Support Team. Karen Stanley currently has the title of Advisory Software Engineer and has been with IBM for 19 years. She has worked with IBM Customer Support and Services for the majority of her career. Currently, she is a member of the Western MQ Support Team and serves as one of the subject matter experts for iSeries as well as Focal Point for iSeries Common Education Conference. As Focal Point for Common, she has presented on various topics for the conference. At this time, we'd like to turn the presentation over to Blanche and Karen.
Hi, everyone. This is Blanche Ishida and Karen Stanley. And today we're going to be presenting on the WebSphere MQ data conversion. It says part two because last year we did part one, and we continue to see problems in this area with data conversion. So we've decided to give additional scenarios, and the beginning is going to be somewhat of a recap of the presentation done last year. And actually at the end of this presentation in the summary, there's a link to last year's presentation as well. So go ahead and we'll go to page two. And this is the agenda that we'll be covering, just again, terms and definitions so we can level set so we're all discussing the same terminology. We'll go over the WebSphere MQ message header, the MQMD, which is critical for data conversion. And then we'll go over several customer scenarios, the common problems that we see. And there's some information about IBM Tech Notes and useful links. Then we'll do a summary and wrap up, and then we'll have question and answers. So we can go to page three. And again, this is just a recap. This is from last year's presentation, and it's just terms and definitions. The character set is a defined set of characters used to represent textual information. It's really a set of defined characters, and the code page, a.k.a. is also known as the code set. Code page can be defined as a table with a mapping of alphanumeric code and its binary representation. Okay. Let's go to page four. Okay. A code point is a single location of a character within the code page, and we'll go through further on. I have a table of what a code page looks like, and a code point is just one point on that table. Now, the CCS ID, the coded character set ID, is a unique number, and you can see it goes from 0 to 65535, and it's used by IBM to identify a coded character set and a code page. So that's terminology that we would have here at IBM. So a lot of times people use the code page and CCS ID pretty synonymously. Go to page five. Okay, and these are just common, again, types of character representations. We have ASCII, which is the American Standard Code for Information Interchange, and they tend to be used on the distributed platforms and Windows and Unix boxes and that, and EBCDIC, the Extended Binary Coded Decimal Information Code, which is typically used on ZOS, iSeries, and VSE. And then there's Unicode, which represents characters that can go beyond the just a one-byte character representation. So Unicode allows you to have more variations of code points. And then there's the single-byte character set, which is a one-byte representation or an 8-bit, and a double-byte character set, which is a double-byte. And then we also have a multi-byte as well. If we go on to page six, The message descriptor, or the MQMD, is what is used by MQ Series to identify information as far as do we need to do data conversion. It represents it's a structure that contains the control information that accompanies the application data when a message travels between sending and receiving applications. And then the thing to note is the message ID, Coral ID, and accounting token are not considered to be character data, so we don't convert those fields because there's applications that are expecting a certain message ID, Coral ID, or accounting token, and we don't want to convert it because the application is expecting a certain character and certain information to be passed. So that's one thing. I know that's a question that people ask, and they're, you know, but it's not being converted, but MQ doesn't convert those fields. If we go to page 7, and again, this is a recap from last year. What I've added this year was the actual offsets into the MQMD encoding field as the numeric encoding of the message data. That's at the MQMD plus 18. The coded character set ID or the CCS ID, it is at offset 1 Charlie into the message descriptor, and the format is the format name of the message data. In one of the scenarios, you'll see where we need to have the MQ string format if we want to do data conversion for character data. And then again, the message ID is the message identifier at offset 30 and the Coral ID at offset 48. And you can find the information about the MQMD in the WebSphere MQ application programming reference, and it will give you the descriptions of all the fields in the message descriptor. Okay, we go on to page 8. Okay, encoding. And the reason that we have encoding here is because encoding is generally taken to mean the method that the platform uses to represent numeric data. And there are two general types. There's like a Little Endian used by the Intel processors, like Windows, Linux on Intel. And you'll see, for example, in code page 437 in hex, you would see a representation similar to this Baker Fox 01. And we refer to this as byte swap, because in Big Endian, the number would be 01 Baker Fox, and so you'll see that the 01 and Baker Fox are actually swapped. And it's important when you're reading trace to understand that what the encoding is for Little Endian and Big Endian, or looking at your dead letter header return codes, because you'll get a different return code value if you don't byte swap the return code that's being passed. Okay. And in last year's presentation on page 11, there was actually, for the different platforms, there was a list of the encoding fields on what platform does Little Endian and what platform does Big Endian. We go to page 9. Okay, again, CCS ID. The QManager CCS ID is important as it defines the default CCS ID for messages being created using MQPut and is the default CCS ID which will be used for conversion when messages are retrieved using MQGet. If the channel option convert equals yes is set, the conversion is attempted for the receiving QManager CCS ID. So this is important that you know what your CCS ID for the queue manager is, because this is going to be what's used for conversion. If you don't specify, for example, if you do a GMO convert and you don't specify a particular CCS ID that you want to convert to, then we're going to take the queue manager CCS ID. Okay. And then the conversion is done on the sender outbound side. And if you need to display the queue manager, if you don't know what the if you want to display the queue manager CCS ID, then you can use the display queue manager command. And for those of you who are on ZOS, you can also look at the master job log. There's a PARM QM CCS ID that you'll see on the startup of the queue manager. That will be one of the PARMs that's outputted on the job log. Go to page 10. And this is, again, MQMD, the coded character set ID. And these are some common CCS IDs that we tend to see when people call in for problems. CCS ID 437 is an ASCII code page. It's used primarily for OS2, DOS, Windows. And CCS ID 850 is another common ASCII code page. And 819, CCS ID 819, we tend to see for Unix platforms. And again, it's an ASCII code page. CCS ID 500 is the EBCDIC code page. It tends to be, it's used mainly on ZOS and is known as the International Code Page. Generally, we see CCS ID like 500 on ZOS. And CCS ID 37 is another popular EBCDIC code page used on the OS 400. Okay. One thing to note is that MQ does not supply the CCS IDs and code pages. This is depend on the operating system for those code pages. Go to page 11. Okay, the format in the MQMD. The Queue Manager, MQ has some built-in formats, and all the names begin with MQFMT. And they're listed again in the WebSphere MQ application programming reference under the format field of the message descriptor. And a couple that I have here, the default MQFMT_none is the default. And MQFMT_string is for data conversion. And so any of these that are built-in formats can be used for data conversion, but MQFMT_string tells MQ that we want to do data conversion of character data. And if we go to page 12, okay, what gets converted? Now, this is for channel communication. It says when a channel between two queue managers is started, the two queue managers will negotiate which CCID and encoding protocol they will use for channel communications. So that's one layer of where when we're going across channels, that the channels have to be able to communicate. The two queue managers need to be able to communicate, so they have to agree that they can communicate with the CCS IDs that they're using. The other is in the message data, that if you have, again, MQ format string, then we will convert your message data, with the exception of the message ID, coral ID, and accounting token. Now, the reference here for TechNote 7005729, the data conversion under WebSphere MQ, it's a good reference. It's a good starting place if you have data conversion questions or if you run into data conversion problems. We go to slide 13. Okay, this is a customer scenario one, and what we have is a Windows sender, and the queue manager CCS ID is 437, and it was going to ZOS queue manager CCS ID 500. Now, the reason that why it has a recap and it says customer scenario one, this was taken from last year as well, but we continue to see areas where questions are that come in that, because what we're going to cover here is that you'll see the differences between code pages 500 and 37. And the problem is that there are some special characters, such as the pipe symbol and the right bracket and the exclamation point, that are not, maybe not properly handled, I guess, maybe. It's just handled differently between the conversion between the two different code pages, 37 and 500. But people will call in saying it's not converting the way I expect my data to convert. These special characters fail to convert properly. So now, if you're on the tech note, there should be some attachments that are there, and there should be a reference Word doc that's CCSID 37.CCSID500. So if you go there, what I've done is have a sample of some entries taken from a dump and actually a chin trace. And on page one of the Word doc, you'll see that I have, I use this, you know, it's just an SVC dump. This is on ZOS that this dump was taken, and the doc was taken on ZOS, on the ZOS side, since we were, the data was expected to be there. And okay. So if you look in what I have, and, you know, for those of you who are distributed, some of this is not going to make sense. But for the anyone that's on ZOS on the phone, again, the convert on the channel is equal to yes. And what I have is the IPCS format of the chin dump, the channel initiator. I actually have the IPCS verbex, CSQX, DPRD, subsys equals RTPJ, comma C trace equals full. So that will list out the chin trace data space. It formats out the trace entries for me. And what I did was I knew what queue name I put the message to, and so actually field 7, in the middle of the page, there's the PMO for the put message options. There's a Doug.LQ. So I did a find, basically, for Doug.LQ to get me to the right trace entries. And so I knew the queue name, so I did a find, and then I, PS7, I could see that the, to back up, to scroll up, and then I could see my message descriptor, the MD. I had a MQ format of MQ string, and the CCSID, which I have highlighted there, the 00025, is the CCSID equals 37 for the code page. So and now going to field 8, the last entry on this page 1, you can see that the message data that was sent was special characters. And the ones that are highlighted on the first line, there's a 5 able. On the second line, there's a 5 fox, a 4 able. Then on the third line, there's a 4 fox, a Baker Able, and a Baker Baker. And on the fourth line, there's a Baker Zero. Okay, so these, the customer was, you know, expecting certain, like the exclamation point or the not sign or the sent sign, and they weren't getting the data that they expected. So on page 2 of the Word doc, you can see, and page 1 was for a CCSID of 37, and CCSID is the 500. And again, it's the same thing where you have, it's a different queue, it's a put message option to Doug.local, and you can see that the characters are different. Like on page 1, it was a 5 able for the bar, and on 500, it's a 4 fox, and so on. So what the customer had to do, in this case, actually, they wanted to use the code page 37 because it gave them the character translation or conversion that they wanted or they expected. So if we go to page 14... Okay, so the solution in this case was the QMAT. They changed the queue manager on ZOS to CCSID 37, or you can create a channel exit program that will handle the conversion for those special characters. Okay, and there's a reference to a tech note 1207860 that shows the conversion character differences between CCSID 37 and 500. One thing to note, if you do make a change from CCS ID 500 to 37, that you'll want to be sure that it doesn't affect any of your applications that are expecting those special characters that were being converted the way CCS ID 500 was handling it. If we go to page 15, okay, and here's a sample of what a CCS ID or a code page chart looks like. And any one of these, in the first chart for code page, I know it's small, page 37, the Baker 0, you'll see, and so that is a code point. And you'll see that the Baker 0 on 37 is that little hat sign, and on 500, if you scroll on over, if you look to the right, a Baker 0, we're going to column and row is how I'm going. So we're going across the Baker being the column and 0 being the row. But Baker 0 on code page 500 is a cent sign, so they're not converting the same way. There are different code points. If we go to slide 16. Okay, so now these are some what we would put in quotes here, common problem code points, and it's just a problem because it's not the code points that or the conversion that people are expecting. So here's a chart of what will show you what CCS ID 437, CCS ID 819, and 537, and the differences that they have for the different hex values for each character. Go to slide 17, please. Okay, this is customer scenario 2. This is another very common data conversion issue. We have a Windows client, CCS ID 437. They're doing a channel with convert equals yes, and the server con is a CCS ID 500 on ZOS, and we must have the client attachment feature to allow clients to come in. So the problem is the messages put to the ZOS queue with a CCS ID of 437 are not converted as expected. If we go to slide 18, So if we go to the reference trace file, CCS ID 437.CCS ID 500.no.mqstr.doc, okay, hopefully everyone's there. And so now if you go to page 1 of that Word doc, again, this is a ZOS chin trace. It was taken from a chin trace. So, again, you'll see at the top I have the IPCS format of RTPH chin, and the verbex is CSQX DPRD, subsys equals RTPH, and ctrace equals F for full. Again, convert equals yes is on the channel. But if you'll notice, again, once I did, I knew the queue I was going for, so I did a find for doug.local, which took me to field 7, that entry there. And then I backed up, and I can see that my MD, and this time it's CCS ID 437 in the message descriptor. It's highlighted there, the 0001 Baker 5, which is decimal 437. And in field 8, the last block on page 1, you can see that this is all ASCII data. It's not anything that you can really read. So the data was not converted. It was sent unconverted. And looking at it, if you go back to the first entry at field 6, at offset 20, you'll see the 40s there. the two words of 40, and the format is blanks, which is the default, FMT underscore none. So we're not doing, we're not saying MQ string, and it requires us to have that MQ string. So if you go to page 2 of the Word doc, and again, we format it out, and this time that you'll see in field 6, in the MD, you'll see the characters MQSTR, and at offset 20, you'll see that we have the MQ format string specified. And this time when you look at field 8, that you're now able to read what it says, special characters, an exclamation mark, and the not sign, and the sent sign. And the difference being that it was the MQ format, and the type, if it's none, then we don't do data conversion, and if you have MQ string, then we do data conversion. If you go to page 3, this is the of the Word doc. This is the trace command that was issued, the start trace global destination res class asterisk RMID asterisk. That was for the master trace and the start trace chinit for the chin trace. Now, this is a version for version 6. Okay, and then the dump command, I have a sample dump command, and then I also refer you to tech notes 1174924 and 1288921 for additional trace and dump information. And if you want information about the IPCS Verbit Exit CSQX CPRD, you can find more information in the Information Center, and I have a link there. So if we go back to the presentation, we're now on page 19. Okay. So the, and again, this is just reinforcing the message data, the message that, the characters is what's going to be, the character data is what's converted. So if the message you're passing is entirely character data, then it's easy for WebSphere MQ to do all the work for you. If the application is put with the MQ format string, then we'll go ahead and do the data conversion. If you put, you know, convert equals yes on the channel, or when you do a get message, if you set the MQ GMO, the get message options with convert. Again, there's the tech note to 7005729 data conversion under WebSphere MQ. Go to slide 20. Okay, and that's just, again, more information about the MQ get and the options that you have with the MQ GMO options convert. And we recommend that you do the data conversion on the MQ get of the message, since the message can go, it can multi-hop across different platforms and across different queue managers. So we generally, the rule is, the recommendation is to do the MQ GMO convert on the getting application. But you can specify convert equals yes on the sender channel, and then we'll allow the message channel agent to do the data conversion for you. We'll go to slide 21. Okay, I don't have any traces for this, but again, this is a new, with KIX TS 3.2, the KIX bridge now is run there, and so this is customer scenario 3. And what people have been finding is that, you know, either no data conversion is taking place, or binary zeros are returned, or what they would consider bad messages, or the other is MQRC not converted, return code 2119. And so this is, again, using the KIX TS 3.2 and ZOS WebSphere MQ version 6. Now, the solution is to apply, there's two APARs, one for KICS-TS, which is PK58227, and the other is the MQ APAR, PK59397. There is a temporary workaround if you're using regular sender-receiver channels that you can use convert equals yes on the channel if you have a sender channel. And I know several people are not using sender receivers. They're using a client connection, so you know that option's not open to them. You'd have to apply the fixes. For anyone running still WebSphere MQ version 5.3.1, the APAR is PK59405. Okay. And the change in PICS was, so this has occurred because of an architectural change in the way CICS dispatches MQ tasks at KICS-TS version 3.2. So you'll, if you are running at KICS-TS 3.2 and you are running with the KICS bridge, then this is two APARs that you'll be interested in looking at. We've had several calls where people have come in, and some of them have been, again, data conversion errors. Some have been 2119. Some have been old Charlie Force, because when they go and grab the data, it's not what they expect, and so they actually add in. So you can have some unpredictable results. So just be aware of that. Okay, so now I'll turn the presentation over to Karen, and she'll review some of the some other customer scenario.
Hello, everyone. Please let's go to slide 22. The scenarios that I have, the next three, will be mainly what we refer to as a distributed platform, so like Windows connecting into the iSeries. And you do have three attachments for documents that we're going to be opening. And for scenario four, if you would go ahead and just open the MQRC not converted document. This particular scenario was very interesting that it came to us. We had a customer that had Linux sender channel, and the Linux queue manager was 819 communicating with iSeries, and they wanted the iSeries queue manager to convert to be 932 CSID, which is Japanese PC data mix on the receiving side. So if you haven't already, please, again, open document MQRC not converted, and I want you to go to page 3, line 14, and you'll see highlighted there the MQ, well, let's see, page 3. I have to get there, too. You'll see the function that we're calling in the trace. And these traces all come from the iSeries, but they're pretty much the same across the distributed platform, whether it's Windows, AIX. This is pretty common across the platform. So the function that you see here, the convert variable character integer, you can see that it's going from 819 to 932, and you see that value that says max 149. That's the amount of data that we want to convert. And then, of course, following it is your data. And as you flow down, you will see after the function call, you'll see several queries regarding the CSIS because we're always checking. So now if you go to page 3, line 40, and locate the function called XCS convert stream, and it should be highlighted for you in red, we see there that we have the function call. And my favorite thing to see here is that it says that it's not supported. The reason that the call came to us, though, is because what the customer sees in their application is they get a return code that just tells them that it's not converted, but it doesn't tell them why it wasn't converted. To determine that, we had to collect the trace, and we could see that the conversion is not supported between these two CSIDs. And again, as Blanche has stated, we're dependent on the operating system as far as our conversion data tables. So if the operating system doesn't support the conversion, there is nothing in MQ that will override that feature. So you would have to create an exit to convert between these two CSIDs or code pages. Another option would be, as the solution was for this customer, is to use a different CSID on the receiving side, and in this case, we recommended that they use Unicode, which could have been 1208 or 1200 or 13488. Either one of those would have worked for the customer, and then, of course, to do the conversion on the GET. So as you flow down or follow down into the trace on page 4, line 41, you'll see the reason code, and you'll see there in hexadecimal 847, which is basically a 2119, the not converted. Again, but the answer to the problem is going back is that it's not supported by the operating system. Okay, so if we can go to slide 23, please. The next scenario that we have is scenario 5. And for this one, you will need to open document MQRC converted string too big. And while you're doing that, I'll just tell you a little bit about this scenario. What we have here is a Windows client, and they're putting with ASCII 819, communicating with an iSeries again. The queue manager itself is at 37, but the application is at 1208, or Unicode. And so the getting application is failing with a 2190. Converted string is too big. Basically, this means that the data that's been put to the queue and then the getting application that's receiving the data, the buffer is too small for it to handle, is basically what that means. But let's go through it with the trace file. So if you have your have the converted string too big document open, and if you would go to page 2, line 42, please. And again, you will see the convert variable character integer in red, and it will tell you what CSID we're coming from and what we're going to, and again, the max of the data length. So in this case, we're going from 819 to 1208, and we're just dealing with a small set of data, 25 bytes. And then, of course, the data is underneath. And again, you'll see all the queries about the CSIDs because it's going to be checking with the operating system, can you do this, can you handle this. So then let's page down to page 3, line 5. And the great thing about this is that you can see the input data, the input length and the output length, and right where that third parameter says n bytes left is 6. That's the amount of data that we couldn't convert. So hence, converted data is too big. And the other nice thing about this, the line right under it, which is at line 5, you see the icon V. This is a system API. And on most Unix platforms, for iSeries, if you go into QShell and you can use the QShell command or the QSH command to access the shell, which is our Unix equivalent. And mainframe, it is called the Unix.
Open Edition.
Open Edition. On AIX, Sun Solaris, and HP, you most likely have the Icon V utility. And this is another great tool to test if conversion can happen between two CSIDs. And if you just say Icon V, on most cases with a question mark, you can get the online help to see what the parameter settings are, or you can look in the operating system documentation. But in this case, you see that the system call to the system API Icon V has failed with a 3491. And this basically says that the argument is too big. So the operating system is saying it's too much. It's too much data. So you can see, again, the input buffer length of the call, the output, the number of bytes after the Icon V failed, that it couldn't convert. As you page down in blue, you'll see the input string data, and then output string data is also in blue. And then right at line 18, you'll see the convert string, and it's failing with the invalid length. And then as you page down or scroll down, I should say, the call is returned to MQ from the operating system. And to us, that means the converted message is too big. Another thing that I wanted to point out to you on line 27, you'll see the return to the call to the MQ get. And you know it's returning because you see the two greater than symbols that are pointing in the direction of the MQ get API. That means that the call is being returned back to the application. And you can again see as you scroll down to page 4, and you want to go to line 26, and you'll see what we'll pass back to the application. And when we pass it back, we update the reason code and comp code fields of the API. So this is what gets passed back to the user's application, and they would have to handle this with their error handler. Okay. I'd like to go to the next scenario, and that would be the next slide, which is 24, please. Another thing about the previous slide, Elijah, can you go back one, please? Thank you. The solution for this customer, which I forgot to give you the solution, again, was they just have to increase the buffer size. Anytime you're going from single byte to multi-byte or to double byte, double the size of the buffer. So if you're putting a single byte of 25, then on the receiving side, you want it to be 50. But you need to make sure that it's large enough to handle the data. Because as Blanche stated, when you're doing multi-byte or double byte, the hexadecimal representation of a code point is going to be double character size or double hex. So, and this, in many cases, is because, like in Japanese, or the kanji languages in general, they have characters that overlay one another. So hence we have double byte characters. So just be aware that anytime going from single byte to multi byte or double byte, double the size of the buffer for the receiving data to avoid these types of scenarios. Okay, so Elijah, please turn to slide 24. So in this scenario, and this is going to be our final scenario, we have a Windows client, 8.19 again, communicating with iSeries, and again it says 37. And this is a build on to scenario 5. And what we've done here is one customer indicated, well, I specified allow truncated message or accept truncated message. So in their way of thinking, it will convert and I can continue on. And the answer to that is, no, it won't. So if you wouldn't mind, if you opening the slide or the trace file, MQRC converted message too big for this scenario. Give you a few moments to get there. Again, the messages were not converted, and what the customer was seeing was that they were getting a return code of 2079, which is truncated message accepted, which is true because on your MQ get for the get options, you told us, okay, I want you to accept truncated data. So if my buffer is too small, I still want you to put the data in that field, you know, and keep processing. But now we're talking about conversion. And you can have half bytes, and we won't do that. So in this scenario, if you would go to page 2, line 45, again, you'll see the convert variable character integer highlighted in red and indicating that we're going between 819 and 1208, and you'll see the data in blue there. So now if you would scroll down to page 3, line 7, and you'll see my favorite system API call, for data conversion at least, icon V, and which is going to perform the conversion. And again, the system fails with a 3491. And again, we will not override the system. And 3491 is argument list too big. Now, previously, you could see that the input length is 24, output length is 24, and the n bytes left is 6. And as I stated before, this is documented in the operating system documentation, or on, maybe on, like for the iSeries, you can look at the online help. But basically, the n bytes left is decremented to reflect the number of bytes still not converted in the input buffer. I also want you to note that, again, we're going from single bytes to double byte character sets. And we can see in the input string and the output string, which is highlighted in blue for you, on page 3, line 21, you'll see the convert string is going to fail with an invalid length again. And that is going to be followed by the convert character function, which is the MQ function that we have, and it's going to fail with a 2120, which is converted message is too big. And then, of course, we turn that into truncated message accepted. But you don't see that coming back to your application, so the only way you see it is if you collect a trace of your application to know why it's saying that the truncated message is accepted. In some of these scenarios that Blanche and I, in putting this presentation together, we think it would be more beneficial if they just tell us what the reason code should be. So we're going to pursue this with our change team to just see if it can be done, because it probably would be more helpful, not only to our customers, but, well, to us. So when we're trying to figure out what's going on in the data conversion. Now, starting on page 3, line 30, you will see MQ's reply for the GET request. And, again, you see the greater than symbols pointing toward the MQ GET API. Scroll down to page 4, line 22, and we see the reason code, which is 81FOX, which is the 2079 truncated message accepted. And because the application has accepted the truncated message specified on the MQ GET options, the receiving application buffer is still too small to hold the converted data, so the application fails. And again, we're going from single byte to double byte. So we see this multiple times. And what the solution is, again, in this scenario, is to double the size of the receiving buffer to be able to handle the data. So now that we have those scenarios completed, could you go to slide 25, please? And we've already talked about the solution for scenario 6, so please go to slide 26. We get asked a great many times what CSID, what Unicode CSIDs would you recommend? There are hundreds of CSIDs out there, so we can't tell customers specifically, well, do this one. This is the one, because not all CSIDs or cold pages work for every environment. But three of the most common that we've seen customers use are 1200, 1208, and 13488. And again, you can look at those online, and we have some links there for you, so you can see. I don't know too many people that want to look at Unicode cold pages because they are very large in size, but they have. The one thing about Unicode is that they have all the different code points that you can use. So whatever works for your environment, these may be the first three that you might want to take a look at to get your applications or your programmers the information that they need. Can you please go to slide 27? And now I'm going to turn it back over to Blanche.
Okay. Hopefully, from going over some of these scenarios and using like either a dump or trace, that you get an understanding. And the next slide is about problem determination. And, you know, it's not always clear cut when you first look at the problem on what the actual error is. So what we would like to see as far as problem determination, when you open a PMR, if you would have like a complete problem description, what's the WebSphere MQ environment description on both sides, on the sending side or on the receiving side, or if it's just local, you know, what are the code pages, what level are you at, what's the level of the operating system, the queue manager, CCS ID, you know, for example, 37, 437, 1047 is for VSE. Are you attempting to do queue manager, you know, convert equals yes on the channel? What's the putting application CCS ID? What's the MQMD format setting? And again, the getting application, you know, what's the what are you doing as far as the getting application with the CCS ID setting? One way that you can look at the messages if it is going across the channel is to, you know, stop the message on the transmit queue and look at the message. Does it look good before it's sent over? And then if it is correct, and then you capture the message on the other side, on the remote queue on the, or the destination queue, and is it, you know, is it what you're expecting? So those are some things. And again, you know, as you can see, that sometimes we ask for a trace and or dump, and that's what we tried to show today as well with our scenarios on the need at times for a trace or dump, because it was the only way that we could actually see what the you know, what the real error was. And again, going back and referring to, you know, the WebSphere MQ data conversion, and there's a tech note reference there. Okay. We go to slide 28, please. And we tried to provide some useful links as far as data conversion. The first link is just our WebSphere MQ support page, and that just takes you to our home page. And you can put in, you know, either one of those TechNote numbers in the search box. It'll take you to the TechNote, or you can put in, like, data conversion. And, you know, you'll be several links or hits will be returned if you put in data conversion. The System I globalization link there, if you want to look at code pages, it has, like, that we use to show the code page 37 and 500. That gives you the actual code pages that you can link to. And then the other Unicode and the character set and the language tools links as well. We go to page 29. There's some useful tools that we found for data conversion. There's a WebSphere MQ support pack, IH03. It's commonly known as RFHUtil. And Karen will be discussing some of that in a minute here. And so the WebSphere MQ samples, if you want to browse messages, we do have some samples. There's a AMQS-BCG, which is used for Windows and Unix, and AMQS-BCG 4 for iSeries, and again, CSQ4-BCL1 for ZOS. And the default for these is not to do data conversion. Right? And if you need more information about these, like for the example, the ZOS sample, then you can look in the WebSphere MQ application programming guide, and it will list both the sample and where you can find it, and also some the JCL that you'll need. Well, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Karen for the IH03 support pack.
And just to add on to the previous slide, or slide 29, the samples for iSeries are an optional installation. So if you're on the iSeries platform, that would be option one. It is not part of the base of the product. So if the customers don't have the samples installed, then they would have to install that feature. And that would install library QMQM SAMP onto their server. For all the samples to be able to use either in COBOL, RPG, or also in C. Okay, please go to slide 30. What we're going to discuss now is a feature I guess, well, it's a tool that's part of the support pack IH03, which is the WebSphere message broker. And the one thing that Blanche and I use this tool for, and this is the only thing that we use out of this tool. It's great for data conversion testing, and also it's helped us a great deal in doing any type of problem determination and looking at data to see what could be happening as far as conversion. All of our support packs are available on the WebSphere MQ support pack download page. They're free. There's no added charge for them. But this particular support pack is what we refer to as a Category 2, meaning it's shipped as is. There is no defect work done as far as the support pack. The actual developer for this support pack, his name is on document, and you can actually just send him an email if you find a problem with it, and he will take a look at it at his convenience, because he is one of the developers, so it may take a while to get to it. But as you can see here on slide 30, this is the RFUtil client version of this. So basically I'm running it on my Windows and connecting into a queue manager, in this case iSeries or i5OS or whichever name you know the 400 by these days. And you can see that you can see the main page, you can look at the data, you can see I have circled there in the upper left corner not only the data but the message description. And you'll see some other tabs there too. As this is one of the broker support packs, you can see things for PUB, SUB, JMS, and KIC. So there's a lot of functionality to this tool. So depending on what you want to use it for, especially in tests, and we do only recommend using it in tests, not in a production environment. It's just so you can test your data to see how to convert it, to put test messages, you know, to make sure of where the problem might be or where the issue might be. So if you would go to slide 31, please. In this case, you'll see that I'm looking at, basically I'm looking at data. So I'm connected to the iSeries again, and you're hitting the data tab, and you can see the data. You can look at it in character. Off to your right-hand side, you can look at the data in character, hex, both. If you have XML data, parse data, COBOL, if it's on a PC, there are so many different options. I mean, we can probably do a presentation just on this particular support pack, but we just wanted to inform you what is available to you as far as tools when you have a data conversion issue. And you'll also note also on the left-hand side that you have different formats. So if you wanted to look at that data in ASCII or EBCDIC, or if you wanted to look at it in simplified Chinese or Korean, you have that option, also in Japanese. Again, lots of options to you. Please go to slide 32. And here is the meat of it all for our messages, for MQ messages, and that is the MQMD. So as Blanche stated in one of her scenarios, that if you had a message that didn't have the format listed there and you're using this tool, it would definitely show up here as blank. But in the sample that I'm looking at a message, you can see that I have MQ string specified. You can see the user's name who put the message, what CSID the message is, when it was put, is it an expiry message, the CORAL ID, the message ID, group ID. And if you're on the iSeries or any platform for that matter, you can see what application actually put the message. For iSeries, you will know which job, which queue manager it is, and again, just a host of options. I don't think there's room for anything else because he's put so much functionality into this tool. Okay. Please go to slide 33. I wanted to also show you what the tool looked like when it accesses a ZOS queue manager, and that's grabbing a message that has a code page of 500. So, again, you have the same information as before. You can see the queue manager, the queue. You can see the code page, the user, if the format string has been set, and all the same data that you would see whether it's iSeries, Windows, or any other Unix platforms. Please go to slide 34. Again, another tool that I mentioned before, if you're on the i5OS or iSeries, AIX, Linux, or ZOS, and you're going to the Open Edition or OMBS, you can take advantage of using the Icon V. The sample or example that you see here is I ran this on the iSeries platform, but I also had several of my teammates try it in the Unix editions on their platforms, and the parameters are pretty much the same. If you don't specify any parameters or you specify a question mark, you can see what can be passed into it. And basically, you just need to tell it what CSID you're going from, what CSID you're going to, and the file, the data in the file that you want converted. And it will just output it to the screen. And if you go to slide 35, please. This is just some samples for you going from the different CSIDs, 37 to 37, which is no conversion, 37 to 819, 37 to 437, 37 to 500. You have lots of choices here. Please go to slide 36. We wanted to list here for you several of the documentation. I'll turn it over to Blanche and she can talk about manuals.
Okay. This is just some good documentation for our WebSphere MQ documentation on if you're looking for data conversion issues and that. So you can look, there's just a list there that we have is the command reference and the application programming reference, which will get again give you the descriptions of the MQMD, the application programming guide, which will list the samples. If you need to write a data conversion exit, there's information there as well. And basically, all of those are the individual manuals, but at the bottom, it'll take you to the, you can get to the information center for version 6. Okay, so we go to slide 37. And in summary, again, we just went over some of the terms like MQMD and CCSID and code page. In the second bullet there, the IBM Tech Notes, we've listed last year's webcast that we did for WebSphere MQ data conversion. So you can get, it has additional scenarios there, customer scenarios. And then there, again, a link to our WebSphere MQ product support page. And then again, you can search on data conversion and there'll be several tech notes and information there that can be found there. If we go to slide 38. And we have just additional WebSphere product resources and with the information and URLs there for that.
And go to slide 39. Okay, with that, we're done, and we'll open it up for questions and answers.
We'll give it back to Elijah.
And Elijah will take over from there.
All right. At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Karen and Blanche, for presenting today.
You're welcome.